Hope you're having a great Father's Day so far. Really appreciate the work of fathers. You know, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 and about how Paul talks about how he's a father in the faith to the Corinthians, and the importance of having good fathers as disciple makers. You know, he was a father of the faithful there in Corinth. And there's a great responsibility to us as physical fathers, and there's a great responsibility as spiritual fathers to raise our kids in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Right? Discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And we have the perfect Heavenly Father so that we can follow in His steps. So hope you're having a great day and are getting after the work of the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's exciting stuff. Oh, and don't exasperate them, right? It's easy to read over that, right? Oh, yeah. Okay, kids, these are your jobs, right? But, hey, we got, for both our spiritual kids and our physical kids, there's a responsibility not to exasperate our children. Colossians chapter 1. That's all you're getting about fathers, so hope you enjoyed it. Colossians chapter 1. We're working through Colossians. That's what we're doing, man. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Light and darkness can't exist at the same time and in the same place. When you have light, you don't have darkness anymore. And so, in the scripture here, it says, he delivered us from the domain of darkness. And domain, a lot of times, is not a word that we use very commonly, except for web domains. That's how we use that word. If you put in domain, okay, into your Google search, right, what you're going to get back is a lot of advertisements to be able to purchase a website domain. Okay, this is going to be a news flash, right, but that's not talking about a website domain. I know it's hard to believe. You guys didn't know that, but that's what I'm here for. Okay, so domain of darkness. Well, what's it talking about, domain? Well, you see where the website, web domains, got that, why we started using that word. Because domain is literally an area of territory owned or controlled by a ruler or government. It's a domain, the area that's controlled. It's his domain, a ruler or a government. So we have been... He delivered us from the domain of darkness. Well, who's the ruler of the domain of darkness? Yeah, Satan, right? Transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we were once part of that domain of darkness. We were part of his territory with a ruler, the one who was in charge of the darkness. And we have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We've been rescued. True deliverance. See, Jesus gives the kind of deliverance that nobody else can give. Jesus gives deliverance that no one else, nothing else can give the deliverance that Jesus gives. Jesus gives real and true deliverance. You know, when people talk about deliverance, different things pop into their head. Usually depends on what you feel oppressed by, right? Your definition of deliverance is going to depend on what you're feeling oppressed by. That's what you want delivered from, that which is bringing you oppression. Some people think of deliverance from their oppressive boss, right? If it wasn't for this tyrant of a boss, right? I want deliverance. Maybe it's the entire job, right? I want deliverance from this job. Some people might think about deliverance from credit card debt, right? You feel oppressed by credit card debt? You want deliverance? Right? Like, yes, please. Make the creditors stop calling, please. Right? Maybe student loan debt. Deliverance. Give me some deliverance. Right? I'm feeling oppressed. Need deliverance from that. Some people think about deliverance from a bad marriage. Some people think of their oppressive mother-in-law. Right? What do you want it deliverance from? Maybe it's your mom-in-law, right? Like, of course, I don't feel... Oh, Brenna's not in here. Okay. it is recorded. I don't mean that, Kathy. Some people think about deliverance as, hey, the lottery would be my deliverance, right? I mean, you can kill a lot of birds with that one stone. If I just won the lottery, well, then they could quit their job, buy the company if they wanted to, fire that oppressive tyrant boss, not have to worry about their debt, fix their marriage, and buy their mother-in-law a beach house really, really far away. Like, you could solve those, just give me more money, right? Like, if I won the lottery, that is deliverance. Deliverance, all right, good deal. Okay, what we want deliverance from is that which we were oppressed by. But all of this deliverance is temporary. Usually when we think of deliverance, it means being set free from someone who takes away your rights. We usually associate bondage and deliverance with slavery. Slaves' lives, they're not their own. The idea of being a slave. They don't get to choose where they will go, what they will do, whom they will be in relationships with. The only thing that they own is their own thoughts. I'm talking about slavery, there's no ownership there, right? You are a piece of property when you are a slave, and you don't own anything except for your own head. You don't even own your own actions. Well, people who are in darkness, their lives are not their own. They are in bondage to sin. They are oppressed by sin. They are slaves to sin. They're no longer their own. Sin has become the controlling factor in the sinner's life. Whether the person realizes it or not, it is sin which affects and influences where a person goes. Remember, slaves, they don't get to decide where they go, right? Sin affects where a person goes, what a person does, who a person has relationships with, right? Because if you're in darkness, you know what's really uncomfortable? Light. Light. So what are you attracted to? More darkness. So the things that you do, what are they going to be? In darkness. The people that you're in relationship, what are they going to be? In darkness. So you're controlled by the sin which you practice. Again, that doesn't take away personal choice, okay? But kind of coming back to what we were talking about during Sunday school is that once an adult level mind chooses to sin, do you know what they have? Sin nature. That's what they have. They've chosen to sin. That's who they are. That's who they are by nature. And that sin has consequences. It is sin which selects who we associate with and the relationships that we will be in, because sin is the driving force of an individual's life. They are under the domain of darkness. They are in an area that is owned or controlled by Satan. They are in darkness, in the domain of darkness. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. They're slaves to sin. Person's thoughts, okay, who is in the domain of darkness, their thoughts are on sin, are on evil. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. First John 2:16. First John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." This is the driving force in an individual's life who is under the domain of darkness. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. That's what they're attracted to. Darkness is made uncomfortable by light. Therefore, darkness is attracted to more darkness. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. It's asked a question either by observation or experience. When a person gets involved in sin, does that usually lead to more sin or less sin? Always takes a person further than where they want to go, right? Like, I'm comfortable right here. This is the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the boastful pride of life that I'm, you know, that's what I want to participate in. And all of a sudden, the consequences have become exponential. Right? I'm not going to spell it out totally and completely, but there's a reason why there are certain things that are gateways, right? Does the individual intend to end up in a place where their life's on the line? They don't intend to end up there, right? But this gateway is pretty harmless. Sin attracts more sin. When we become accountable, each one of us made a choice to sin. But what's interesting with that, we made that choice to sin, to give in to that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. It was an individual decision to sin. Usually, the person doesn't understand the consequence of their subsequent slavery. Like, when you chose to sin, you were like, okay, I would like to sign up for the domain of darkness, please. Okay? Where's the guy with the red suit and the tail and the pitchfork? I would like to be a part of his team, Mother May I. Right? Nobody does that. Right? It's more like, well, I thought it would be a good idea, 17, 18 years old, sneak out of the house, make some really poor decisions being outside of the house, you know, you fill in the blanks from there, okay? It doesn't look like, okay, Team Satan, please. You know, they had, what were those movies, a few Hunger Games, right? Where Team PETA and Gale, that was the other guy's name. Okay, it's not like you're part of Team PETA or Team Gale. Okay, maybe a few. See, Casey knows what I'm talking about. Okay, it's not like you're doing that. It's like, hey, I ended up on Satan's side, and I thought I was just signing up for a good time. But what did they get? Slavery. Chains. They didn't realize that the slave traders were there to pick them up for the good time. And so what comes about is that when we made our willing choice to sin, we also got the slavery to sin whether we wanted it or not. Satan pulled the whole deception trick that he's gotten pretty darn good at. Whoop. You didn't know what you were signing up for. But you got a new master now, son. So the way Satan, the deceiver, works, each person's then a part of his domain. John chapter 8. See, Satan doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to Satan how he gets you, by hook or by crook. He'll take worship in any form. It doesn't matter to him how he gets that worship. He just wants it. Notice, too, that he got Adam and Eve a little bit differently. Eve, she was kind of more deceived, right? It's able to make one wise, and man, it looks pretty tasty, and it's like 94 degrees out there with 100% humidity, and I'm pretty hungry right about now, and that looks like it might be like a little bit more cool on the inside. That looks pretty good. And Satan's like, hey, don't you want to be like God, right? You really want to keep this away from you? Yeah, you'll be good, right? Oh, okay. Okay, I'll take that fruit. Now, was Adam deceived? Adam wasn't deceived. Adam was rebellious. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. See, did Satan say, no, I'm sorry, I have to get you by deceit. Well, let's try this again. Rewind. No. Like, great. Great, you broke God's commandment? Great. Part of my domain, the domain of darkness. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And if a slave does not remain in the house forever, the son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. If the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There is true deliverance through Jesus Christ from that domain of darkness. And Jesus tells us the upfront cost. See, Satan's willing to get you by hook or by crook. Jesus is honest and upfront and open with his covenant. Okay, he says, look, this is going to cost you. People do not become Christians on accident. People do not become Christians without their knowledge. They're not possible. Okay? A person only becomes a Christian purposefully. And Jesus has set it up this way so that you know what the costs are in advance. Matthew chapter 16. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24 is where we'll start. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Okay. What's the upfront cost? Cost is going to be your life, right? We're going to have to give up earth to gain heaven. And if we choose not to give up earth to gain heaven, we're going to lose heaven. And it's going to take you taking up your cross daily and following after Jesus. It's the cost. It's going to end up costing you your life. You have to be willing to sign up. I want to follow Jesus no matter what. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is Lord. That's the confession that we make at our immersions. And one of the major reasons for that confession that Jesus is Lord is because every day of your Christianity moving forward then is you living out that confession. You get to live out more and more the fact that Jesus is Lord in your life. You get to practice that on a day-to-day basis from that point forward, making Jesus Lord of our heart today. We make the statement in our immersion that Jesus is Lord, and then our Christian life, we get to live out the reality that Jesus is Lord in my life. He lets you know the upfront cost. It's going to end up costing you your life. But Jesus delivers us. He's the ultimate liberator. He lets you know the upfront cost. You can't accidentally become a Christian. God has set it up so that we clearly know the exact time and place where God transfers us from the darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Exact time and exact place. Guys, that's really helpful. That's really helpful. That's one of the many reasons why God set up immersion in water to be the time and the place where a person is transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then you're able to go back and say, I know when I was transferred. I know when I became a part of God's team. See, for a lot of us, it's pretty murky when we signed up to be part of Satan's team. Right? That exact moment of accountability. Maybe you know yours. I know I was accountable. Right? But sin's pretty deceptive, right? But God has set it up. You know the upfront cost. And you also know the time and the place where you signed up, I'm going to be part of Team Jesus. You chose to transfer to a new master. He didn't get you by hook or by crook. You chose to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a slave to a new benevolent master. From a terrible master who stole us by deception and enticement versus a loving deliverer who purchased us with his own blood. Who you want to serve? Jesus purchased you with his own blood. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. See, there's a huge contrast there. As we're slaves of Jesus Christ, we have made the choice to be slaves of Jesus Christ. And this is a slave master, if you will, who has proven to you that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he purchased you because of your value and your worth to him. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He doesn't force you. Acts 20, 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. He made the exchange. Our insurmountable debt, which put us in slavery to Satan as our master, he exchanged that insurmountable debt for Jesus' righteousness. He purchased you with his blood. Our benevolent slave master. And he gives you true freedom. Romans chapter 6. Freedom to be able to serve him. Romans chapter 6. Verse 16. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sins, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. We have been freed from sins and made bondservants of Jesus Christ, bondservants to righteousness, slaves to righteousness. For God's sake, we made the choice to follow him. We get to continue to make the choice to follow him day after day. I like the terminology and the picture that's created for us as being slaves to righteousness. See, if you think about slaves, lots of things come to people's heads. God is the perfect master. He's purchased us with his blood to communicate that he loves and cares about us. He's not mistreating his slaves. He's treating his slaves as well as a slave could ever be treated, as well as anybody could ever be treated. That's what he's communicating with the purchase of us by his blood, is how much he really loves you. So you're not being denigrated by being a slave. But one of the things that's really, really cool is being a slave is opposed to employee, right? Employees are typically as loyal, they're as loyal to the company for as long as the company benefits them. As long as it's the best deal for the employee to stay with the employer, they have a relationship that is acceptable to both sides. And as soon as the employee gets an offer that he or she can't turn down, you know where the loyalty to that employer goes? It's gone. It's a free market. It's the way we have it set up. I think that that's just fine. But we aren't employees of the Lord who are committed just as far as it benefits us. We are working together with our owner to accomplish his purpose, whatever that purpose looks like. We have real buy-in into his cause. It's not about what benefits you in the moment. That's not what the church is about. The church is about having true buy-in for our master, for our owner's cause, to be a slave of righteousness who is bought in, who is working together, and it's not circumstance dependent and it's not convenience dependent. It depends on whatever my owner wants, because I'm committed to that cause. We are slaves and citizens in the kingdom. We have been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son, and nobody's getting a better offer. Bob?